Fayette Area Community Theater Mystery Show. Fayette Area Community Theater Mystery Show. Fayette Show. Yeah. All right, everybody, welcome to the Fayette Area Community Theater Mystery Show. I am Josh Kirby, and I also have with me
Josh Goggin,
yes, of course. And then I have the marvelous, over here in Anaheim, California, I've got, what's your name, guy?
Tommy G.
Yeah. He's joining us remotely from California.
It's a really long microphone.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And then, of course, our special guest tonight is
Bridget Hussey.
Okay. Yeah, and today we'll be talking about improv here at KPIP LP 94.7, the marvelous Fayette, Missouri Rural Radio.
The boiling Ooh. Soup pot of the United States.
This room is going to be pungent by the time we are done.
I wouldn't normally call Missouri a melting pot, but...
This is kind of like, you know, more than the melting, it's where they pour in the mercury or the lead from bullets.
I mean, oh, my gosh.
We're in cast iron here.
Whoa, shouldn't we be talking about, I don't know, ice cubes or ice cream,
you know,
so we can get the...
Every summer I read The Long Winter by Laura Ingalls Wilder, so I will feel cold.
There we go.
Yeah.
Of course, winter is here. You guys know that.
Winter is here.
Any of you Game of Thrones fans out there.
Spoil nothing for me because I still have to watch the last episode of season
dear.
6.
Oh, nice. Hodor.
I mean, I saw that part. I got about halfway through the episode before my computer just decided, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. And then just crashed.
That episode creeped me out, man. I tell you what.
Yeah.
Hold the door. What'd you say, Tommy?
Right.
Hello, we hear you loud and clear, Tom.
I was going to say, when you were talking about the heat, I was thinking about ice, baby.
Oh, yes. So we haven't talked much about improv yet.
No. I mean, that's
what improv is, though, right? We're just talk random.
We kind of throw it out there.
You think we would know a lot about improv since, like, every time we come in here and do this radio show, it's...
Pretty
we have no
that,
idea what
basically,
we're doing.
Yeah, basically improv.
There's a reason it's called the mystery show, because even we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Well, we do need to start. Let's start doing this. We need to have maybe a topic that somebody can randomly throw at us, and then we can start talking.
That'd be kind of neat.
Yeah.
I mean, just
that'd
like,
be kind of neat.
Okay.
Hey, that's kind of like improv, you know, because you start with a topic, and then you have to do a scene or something with it. Right?
I mean,
you know,
a topic
somebody
a little
say
more
bananas
condensed than improv itself.
Well, then that it makes it even harder and more challenging if you just give a vague topic, though.
That's
but,
right.
You know, the point of it isn't to be hard and challenging.
Why not?
Right, here, I've got one for you. So, you know, the new Planet of the Apes movie is going to be coming out soon. If it's not already out, I don't pay attention to this, so I just know it would be.
You don't pay attention to movies or Planet of the Apes?
Like, when the movies are coming
oh, okay.
out. I hear about them being a thing, and then they're suddenly a thing.
I don't think it's
like,
out
oh,
yet.
Oh, cool.
I'm not sure
I don't
that
think
it's
out yet.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for Dunkirk.
But, something, I actually went on a little tirade on Facebook because I was, and it wasn't about Planet of the Apes because I have no problem with this little trilogy that they've come out with. I'm a fan of the old movies and I'm a fan of the new movies.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It just got me thinking about, like, in the past 4 or 5 years, so many reboots, reimaginings are coming out, and don't get me wrong, in their own right, they're good movies. They're good made movies. Some of them, the acting could be better, the special effects could be better, but they're good enough movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they miss the mark for what they're supposed to be doing, which is breathing in some kind of new life while also paying homage to the fans. But I feel like you can't have both. You can't breathe new life into an old concept and pay service to the original fans of it.
Mm.
So, Transformers, the Transformers movies. I was a little knee-high to a grasshopper when I watched the original one and I watched all the TV shows, and I thought, oh, great, new Transformers movie. This is going to be awesome. And I was so disappointed because it's just CGI with, what's his name, Shia LaBeouf. And there's CGI and a lot of explosions. Mm. That's really it.
So you wanted it to be the same, but just cooler effects? Or,
I wish you wanted a whole new thing? I wish they would have spent less time on the effects and more time developing the story. The first movie was all right. And I thought since it was making the basis for the whole series that they were trying to do, that it was all right. You know, you can kind of have a limp story there because you still have to set things up. But then once the second and the third and the fourth movie came around, with less and less story to it, it was just more of the same. And so I didn't feel like it really did what it was supposed to do. It made a lot of money, but people going to see it, it's just explosions and CGI with a lot of big name actors and not a lot of story to it.
Well, that's the problem with movies these days anyway. I mean, look at The Force Awakens. There's the same argument around that. There was it was almost too much like A New Hope. And that argument was, I don't know, people beat my brain in with that freaking argument. And it was all about the special effects. Now, Rogue One was not so much. And I actually appreciated Rogue One a little bit better than The Force Awakens because it was something different.
Right.
And it was new, and it was a completely new addition to the storyline. So it didn't pay homage to the old Star Wars films, but hey, I liked it a lot.
Well, I wonder if there's... yes.
Okay, when we talk a trilogy, first thing that hit my thought was, okay, the first song was Transformers, More Than Meets the Eye. Why can't we keep it like that? You know what I'm saying? We gotta switch everything all up and then bring it all up to date, and then you figure, hey, wait a minute, is this the same show?
Right.
Well, I think that's what you were saying, as far as, like, if you're doing the exact same thing that you grew up with, you wouldn't catch your attention.
Right.
But if you took it too far away, you wouldn't be able to share that experience with, like, your kids.
Right.
Because it would be a totally different movie.
And bringing it back around, that's what I like about this new Planet of the Apes trilogy.
Yeah.
Because it's got enough, like, little teasers and little Easter eggs in there that pay homage to the original Planet of the Apes movies, while at the same time taking it in a completely new direction, that it wasn't just like, oh, they're doing this all wrong. It's like, this is a completely separate story. It's doing it in a different way that I can find both entertaining, and it helps me think about, oh, the old movies.
I don't know. The only one that I can think of, and I actually enjoyed it, was when, I think it was just this past winter, they did on TV, they did the new Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I was actually really pleased with it, because there were some disappointments because, oh, it's not the same as what it was. And I mean, how can you beat Tim Curry?
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
It's hard.
But then they didn't try to because, of course, they had a true transvestite. You know? So, I mean, it was like a new interpretation of it. And so you could go, okay, it wasn't the old thing. Right. But this one was good in itself. So, yeah, it's a very hard line that you have to cross or don't cross.
If they're trying to do fan service, if they're trying to be like, oh, hey, all you old guys, you liked this back before, so here's this. We're doing this for you.
Do the same thing.
Except
with cooler graphics.
Right. And if they do it right, then yeah, it's cool. But so many of these things are just like, oh, hey, the old guys, this is something new. It's not hitting the mark. It's missing the mark.
The market is so unpredictable when it comes to movies. And one of the things that I'm learning recently in my market management class is differentiation is something you have to use. And that's what I think we're talking about here, is the differentiation, where it's not exactly what it was previously, but it takes it off into a new direction. It can't be blatant, though. If it's blatant, like Evil Dead, for example, and that's a cult classic.
Yeah.
And it seems so blatant because, well, all they really did change in the whole thing was, hey, it's a woman instead of a guy. It's a woman instead of a guy. That seemed so blatant. I'm like, what the heck?
But there's some sort of explanation for it. Kind of thing, you know, or you just, you know, you accept it. It's like, oh, well, you know, he died, not reincarnated. Or, you know, you make up some soap opera explanation or something. You know?
Stefano. He's back from the dead.
I mean, it's all a dream. So you guys, do you even get that? Because, you know, y'all are young. I guess...
Well, look at like... Okay, I'm sorry. Look at it like this. Look at real traditional trance formation, okay, with the Ghostbusters. Now they're all female. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and there was a lot of people who did not like that.
Direction, and there's nothing wrong with direction because, you know, when it all boils down to it, it's about that almighty dollar, okay? So
yeah.
Any way to pull it, any way to get it, any way to make it work, we're going to pull them all in.
It's about the demand.
Pile them up, but we ain't going to put a match to them.
I'm glad that there are still some people who really, you know, this sounds so fake. It's what the unpaid actors, the actors who didn't make it, say. You know, I do it for the art. But there is something to that. It's, doing something without the thought of I need to make $1 billion. It's that I love this book and I want to see it come to as true as I can get. Because, like, when Aragon came, they took it way off the book. For no good reason. There's always something. You've got a huge book. You've got a trilogy that, you know, sometimes they smash it into one, and that's kind of ridiculous. But, I mean, you can't get everything in a movie that's in a huge book. But to change characters or storyline or battles for no good reason, you're definitely going to lose your audience because mm-hmm. you're hoping that at least some people are coming to see that movie because they enjoyed the book.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I like, what's going on with television nowadays, because they just adapted American Gods to a miniseries.
Oh, they're
going to
do The Alienist.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait, because I'm hopeful that it is going to be very close to the book, because it mm-hmm. they've done very well.
Right.
Because I think that you can do a lot without the networks now.
Exactly.
You can do all the streaming and stuff, so you can directly get your audience, and so you don't have to worry whether Coca-Cola is going to support you or not.
Yeah, with these long-form productions, you have a lot more time and you have a lot more availability to put all the necessary little stuff
right,
that was in the book in there.
Right, even those subtle nuances
right.
that, you know, the reader goes, woo,
exactly.
and you skip over them and because you need a commercial break or something. So, yeah, I do agree. I think that, but I think that we may see that in the movie industry eventually too, because they're going to price themselves out.
Right.
And we're going to see more and more little pop-ups that are just, movie forms, independent film apps and things like
right.
that.
You heard it here now, folks. Movie watchers.
Okay, I'm copywriting
movies are
that.
For movie watchers. And Netflix is for book readers. Okay, that's what we're
sure.
book readers are taking that.
That's what I would have wished they what I would have wished that they had done with Dune, because they made that first Dune movie, which was all right. It missed a lot,
okay.
but it was all right.
Okay, wait. My son is named Fade because of Sting
Fade,
in a G-string.
Oh,
okay,
God. And then they made that second, like, direct-to-TV
right.
sci-fi movie, which was horrible. And now they're going to do a new one. I forgot who the director's going to be, but he has a lot of, like, notes and stuff from H.R. Giger whenever him and the other famous Argentinian, Jodorowsky.
Okay, I was thinking of the
No, yeah,
okay.
It was him and H.R. Giger. They teamed up to try and make a movie. And whenever he presented the script to the film studio, the movie was going to be, like, 10 hours long. And he was going to film and produce
a 10-hour long movie.
And he's using a lot of these notes, because he got a hold of them, to make this new Dune movie. Which I was super excited, because we can do a lot more with a lot more special effects nowadays. But this is one of those books where there's so much, even on like 2 pages, there's so much information.
Right.
You cannot
get across the idea of how important water was.
Right. It wasn't just like, oh, we need this to live. It was literally the thing that made the main bartering system, the spice,
right.
a thing.
I love the scene where they pour out the water, and the servants mop
yeah.
it up and then go sell it, wring it out and
yeah.
sell it. And I mean, you could do that in the mm-hmm. movie. It's like, but it was skipped over because it wasn't deemed necessary, because you have to get this huge book into 2 hours.
Well,
right.
Now they could do 10 1-hour episodes
right.
on Netflix.
Exactly.
It would
you
be perfect.
Do, a mini series about it, and you would be able to include everything that's necessary and everything that makes all the important things make sense, and cut out some of the filler, because there was a lot of filler in that book.
Mm.
But, you know, in a book, you have to write out everything.
Yes,
you have to write out, like,
well,
what everything
looks
like.
That's true. I mean, there are sometimes, you know, where you take a page to describe how someone blinks their eyes.
And
you can see it in
you can do
a
that
blink
in,
of an
a, in 3 seconds in,
yes.
in a movie or
yeah.
a TV show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's always going to be a little bit of that because of the different media.
Medium. So. Now I want to pay homage to the first author, I think, that pushed the mini series type of thing, which is I believe it was Stephen King with The Stand. Probably were more
Dark
earlier
Tower
than that.
His?
Dark Tower
yes.
is his.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought so, but I mean.
Actually, it was before The Stand. He did Salem's Lot. Salem's Lot.
Salem's Lot had
it
more.
It was a miniseries.
It was a miniseries because if you watch it online, it's like 5 or 6 hours. And the book freaked me out when I was a kid and I read it. The show creeped me out even more because you don't like they can you can describe the vampire however much
you want.
The man
creeps me out the most.
When you look at it, it's freaky.
Yeah,
because the fangs are right here. Instead of right here,
yeah.
they're the first.
Yeah, they can see
incisors.
That on radio.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I'm gesturing at myself. The first two
points.
Incisors are the fangs for the vampire instead of the canine. So it was just like somebody having an extreme overbite times 1,000.
Yeah,
it was like Baraka on Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
finish him.
Oh my goodness!
Sorry, I know it does. What's that? The aliens. I haven't seen a really good alien movie recently.
Oh gosh.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I did not see. I did not see the new
Alien Covenant.
Alien. And I did not see the one where they communicate. Amy Anderson's in it.
What's the premise of the movie?
I don't remember. Sorry.
I mean,
I shouldn't have brought it up.
There's a lot of movies on Netflix that I think are all right. Like I'll watch them again after a while. Like,
it's coming from the guy who watched The Void.
Don't even get me started on The Void. I love that movie.
Was it a good movie?
It was a great movie. I don't care what anybody says. But, there was a lot of good ones. Like Dark Skies is a good alien movie.
Oh my gosh, it's scary.
The Predators, the movie with Adrian Brody in it, that was a good movie. And I'm a diehard, like, I don't care about any of the other Predator movies. I like the first one the best.
Oh, okay.
And I thought that movie was
great. That one was good because it was neat to see an alien that the concept wasn't to take over the Earth. It was just... They were vacationing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, let's go on a trophy hunt.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and then...
And it's the first time
then,
you really get a glimpse of their culture.
Yeah. There's culture and you know, how they react. You know, they see only by heat and all this kind of, you know...
Right. And that
it explained a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that was neat because it wasn't just a horrific alien killing people, or it wasn't aliens coming to the Earth to take it over. There was actually, a storyline.
Mm-hmm. And it was, it took all of the regular, like, extraterrestrial tropes out of it. And the only thing that you could use to connect it to make this a science fiction movie with aliens was they weren't on Earth, and these things definitely weren't human. And there wasn't any magic. There was technology. They weren't human, and they weren't on Earth.
Right.
Hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
What do you think, Tommy?
Well, is it
true that he played the Predator?
Yeah, he played the original Predator in the first movie, and the costume that they ended up using was like the third or fourth that they came up with. The original one kind of looked like an iguana walking upright, and Van Damme hated it. He hated it. And he's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this at all.
I can't be a...
Yeah, he's just like, I look
lizard.
Like a walking iguana. Like, I don't look like an alien. I look like a freaking ninja.
Well, is it...
What do you think about the Black Lagoon? Ah, that's way back.
Creature from the Black Lagoon. I like the original Creature from the Black Lagoon. That was my favorite Universal monster movie.
Yeah, that was the most upright reptile I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, but he didn't like jump around and eat people, did he? He just took him back into the lagoon.
He the creature fell in love with the lady. I don't understand how that was supposed to be conveyed in the movie. He just became obsessed with the lady. And then when they tried to take her away. Huh?
That goes back to you. How many, the big gorilla, okay, the gorilla falls in love with the lady, you know, can we come up with something different?
Well, love is the biggest starter of conflict, and conflict, if you don't have conflict...
Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with loving the ladies. That's okay.
You gotta love the ladies.
Only if you're a big monkey, though. Right? Or a lizard.
Lizard. Or Dracula.
Yeah, what is the fascination?
Yeah.
Why do women go for vampires? What is this?
It's... In original vampire folklore, it was the ability to take over somebody's mind. And so they didn't, in modern times, they didn't want to just be like, oh, that's the only reason that they're involved is because he's taking over her mind. So they wanted it to be, oh, he's suave, he's seductive.
Or is it an excuse because, you know, a woman shouldn't, in that, you know, time, fall into that kind of position.
Right. He was the
and
rebel
so you could
guy.
Say, well, he was mesmerizing, and so then I was just... you know, had no control over myself anymore.
Well, Dracula,
so it's like they could lose control, but, you know, didn't have to take control.
That guy was, think about that. I mean, he was
Bella?
Like a rich guy.
He was the original abusive boyfriend.
Well, yeah, well, we find that later. Okay, but the first impression, though, rich guy, really wealthy guy, dressed well. You know, always
yeah, had a lot
a
of pretty
handsome
things
guy.
In his castle, but,
well,
you know.
You wouldn't know that
and
just by looking
at
it.
And can crawl up and down, you know. I mean, if you came crawling at me on the wall of your castle, I might freak a little. No, I'm not in the mood. Thanks, you know.
This is actually, this next question has, like, everything to do with all the topics we've been talking about. Have either of you seen The Strain?
That's a Netflix miniseries.
Yeah. No, it's on FX, I think, right? Yeah.
Right.
The vampires in The Strain, like, take the vampire idea and turn it on its head.
Real.
So the vampires in The Strain, they're not, it's not like magic or supernatural, it's a virus.
Yeah.
And it's tiny little worms that get inside you and change your DNA.
Worms.
Huh.
And it's great.
Okay, but best vampire movie ever.
Blade?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Near Dark.
30 Days of Night.
28 Days Later.
Near Dark, because they have the solution. I mean, and it's so real, and they're not mythical characters. You know, I mean, it's just...
Right.
The blood, you know, I mean...
That's the same thing with The Strain. They're not mythical.
Right.
Well, there's a mythos surrounding the vampires, the Strigoi, which is what they're called. There's a mythos surrounding them. Which, you know,
it's really just a disease.
Yeah, it's a disease, and there's no way to take somebody back from turning, but at the same time, they know how to fight it. There's, like, their allergy to silver, it's explained with science.
Oh,
they do it because
okay.
The main character is a guy who works for the CDC. And so he's trying to find a way to beat them with science instead of just being, like, crosses and silver.
Okay, so how come we've had this research? Well, vampirism, you know, vampires in movies have always kind of been tops, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, we brought back The Mummy, and we certainly have a lot of zombie things. But Frankenstein didn't go over well. And, you know, nothing more like that. Werewolves did a little bit.
Well, Victor Frankenstein, that was a good movie with Daniel Radcliffe and James McAvoy. It was all right. And the monster got almost no screen time. It got maybe 10 minutes of screen time at the end of the movie.
Really?
Because the movie was about Igor and Victor Frankenstein.
Ah,
and
okay.
So that's the story revolved around that. And the monster in that movie was really cool because it doesn't follow the same storyline as Mary Shelley's book does, where the monster is this tragic character
right.
who is thrust into the world and doesn't know who he is or what he
right.
is. It's more that they bring the monster to life, and that's just what he is. He's a super strong walking corpse.
So he has no...
I mean, he's intelligent enough to be able to act on his own.
Okay.
Like, they bring him to life, and then the, like, some bad guys come, and he's killing the bad guys, and then he attacks Victor Frankenstein, because he doesn't, he just doesn't know. He's, like, a mindless creature, but he has all this strength.
Ah. Oh, well, that would be interesting.
I don't know. What other movies could you equate to the Frankenstein's monster? I mean, it's just...
any of those, you know, back in the 70s when Coma came out and stuff like that, you know, they had a lot, the Eyes of Laura Mars, and there were stories about, you know, amputees getting replacement limbs that were from murderers that would kill you and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I think that, I don't know, maybe it's those darn doctors and insurance companies have put the kibosh on this. So
that might be, they're
conspiracy,
lobbying.
Conspiracy.
Lobbying keeping the Frankenstein monsters movies out of the commercial industry.
That's
so
right.
We don't scare people away from creating creating a monster, basically.
Yeah.
That's funny. I mean, it always comes down to, I think, in stories, especially like Frankenstein or even just Victor Frankenstein or even those conspiracies or urban legends about people who get amputated arms that are from murderers that try,
right,
to, kill them.
It's
this old fear that people have in science, believing that it's either going to turn around back on us. The same thing with, like, people having a problem with GMOs. It's this idea that science, we're going to get so far ahead in science that we can't control it.
I'm just
going
to go
back
to eating grass.
Yeah. I'm just going to be fine with my dirt. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we want to try to get that book sold to everybody, and you guys, I've got a copy, and I started reading it, and it's very intriguing, so just kind of give you a heads up, you know, it's a different feel, so it's best you get that book. It's only $12, so
is it on Kindle?
I'm not sure if it's on Kindle yet. Not sure if it's on Kindle yet, but I know she's got a link. It's EagleHeightsPress.com, I believe, is her store. So if you go on there, you can buy it directly off of her website. So EagleHeightsPress.com, exactly how it sounds. Check that out. That's our own Delia Remington here in Fayette.
Good old Fayette.
Fayette. Nah, man, Fayette. There we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. KPIPLP. We haven't talked a whole lot on improv.
What was this to talk
about? But hey, you know what? Improv. Hey, here we go. You know what? This is what we should talk about: pressing matters and news. You got any news, Tommy?
Hello?
You got any news?
Right here at KPIP radio station, right in the heart of Fayette, Missouri. Actually, callers are 97.4. Is it right?
94.7. KPIPLP.
Okay. Help me out here.
I got your back. Well, I've got a couple of announcements actually here. We've got, of course, tonight, which it will be over by the time you hear this.
Right. But it goes all weekend. Right?
Exactly. It's all the weekend. Godspell Jr. will be performing at 7 p.m. at the Hotel Alexander on the square. Check that out. It's about an hour and a half probably running time. I would think something like that.
I don't think she's doing an intermission, though, so it may only,
so it
be,
may
about
only be about an hour.
Yeah.
So about an hour, and then, let's see, that'll happen tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m., and then also the matinee is on Sunday at 2 p.m. So get out there and check that out. And also, speaking of improv, Bridget and I are a part of an improv troupe called It's Always Tuesday. And what's the next...
Well, there are two things going on,
yeah,
which includes others. We have a teen improv workshop in Boonville, and the teens who have been working will do a performance on, I think we have moved it to the 4th, which is a Friday. So they'll, after learning all about improv, they will then get to perform in front of an audience on the 4th of August. And then It's Always Tuesday, we'll be performing for the Eagles on the 5th.
Okay.
Of August. But we don't have anything open yet. That one's just for the Eagles. But, we have shows fairly regularly, so we'll have to keep you posted on that. We're working on new games and sharpening
Absolutely.
Our skills.
What kind of games, Bridget?
Oh, well,
Radio
you
games?
Know. Well, there's games like Questions Only.
Oh, what's that like?
Where you have to answer a question with a question. And unless you're a toddler, it's really hard. If you're a toddler, you have autism.
Okay.
Because I get that every day.
Questions only. Actually, yeah, I remember how to play this.
Yeah.
Let's do a little
questions, only.
Questions only here.
Okay, so we could do it on a tag team kind of thing where it's like, we even have four if we want. So like when one of us...
Well, Tommy's played it.
Well, Tommy's here. Yeah, so Tommy can do it. So when you goof... If you don't question...
You take a drink.
Yeah,
I know.
you're out. And the next person comes in, because it's kind of hard to do, like, four people questions at once, so you start with just two. So usually we get a topic, like
a non-geographical
location.
Oh, a non-geographical location, or... why don't we just go with that? Non-geographical.
That's a topic.
That's a cop out.
That's not a topic.
We could be at the radio station. did you plug in the mic?
Did you hand it to me?
Did you turn it on?
Is it on yet?
Can you hear me?
Where are we at?
Is this KPIP?
Did I not tell you that?
Are you kidding me?
Is this a comedy show?
Am I laughing?
I didn't hear you. Burn. Out of here, as the famous Bill Cott would say.
Oh, there you go.
What was that, Major Tom? This is ground control. Stuff like that kind of reminds me of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
That's exactly what it is.
Improv show.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like sneaking downstairs from my bedroom whenever my parents were asleep to watch that on TV. That or Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf!
Right?
Awesome!
I'm like,
this is mine, and this is mine.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, if you haven't seen it, have you read the books?
They're books?
Oh my god, and I think I gave them to my son. I will have to find them for you because, yes, there are books, and I tell you that there were two things that have made me such a recycling Nazi, and it's the books because he lands on Earth and he's going, oh, look at that sparkling green water, and it's all glass. It's all, the continent is now just the dumping ground for green glass. And it's like, oh my gosh, we have got to do something about our pollution, our throwing away everything we have.
Yeah, I'm like,
anybody? Oh yeah, you've got to read this.
I am like the only person in my generation who knows about Red Dwarf. At least as far as I've found.
You are privileged.
I know, because that was one of two shows I was actually allowed to stay up and watch. That and the Red Green Show.
Oh, no, I don't know the Red Green Show.
It was just a bunch of redneck guys hanging out, and it was kind of like a variety show.
Uh-huh.
And there was something, it was Redneck Handyman, and he would like have a problem with something, or somebody would ride up and just be like, hey, I have a problem, like the seat on my lawnmower isn't comfortable enough. And so he'd come up with this big elaborate plan and just end up duct taping something to whatever he was trying to fix. So in this case, he duct taped a bench to the lawnmower. Not a riding lawnmower, a push lawnmower.
Push lawnmower.
Just duct taped a bench to it. And the tagline for it at the end of that segment was, if women don't find you handsome, they'll at least find you handy.
And then you get a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Well, don't take much, right?
Where can you find a Red Dwarf? Because you got me intrigued.
What? I don't know.
They used to have the entire show on Netflix.
And they took it off.
But I bet you could find it on Amazon.
Yeah, you can definitely find it on Amazon. There's 9 regular seasons for its original run. Then they have a 3-episode special where they come to our universe, where they're a TV show character. And then they rebooted it with a 10th season, where they're all old and everything.
It's just indescribable. I mean, it's that Lister has taken this cat on board because he doesn't like his job anymore, and so he knows he's going to get arrested and put in suspended animation. And he's there for, like, billions of...
I mean, maybe
he was originally
seen
supposed
this.
To be in for 6 months, and...
This is a British sci-fi show?
It's yes. not a British... Yeah, it's yes. a sci-fi show, and it's like a mockery of Star Trek.
Yes.
It's this... The
it's a British TV show.
Okay.
And the
one of the guys is Scottish, right?
They might be Scottish, but they're all play. They all play
Rimmer is a hologram, yeah. And
there's Holly,
I've seen this.
The ship's computer,
I've seen this.
The ship's
I've watched
computer
this.
Lost its I, mind.
Yeah, he's senile. Yeah, there's like a nuclear leak in the ship, and so the computer keeps Lister in suspended animation for several million years while the ship deradiates. Mm-hmm. And he finally comes out to find everybody's dead. He finds the little like ash piles of everybody. I don't know what it is. So he's sitting in the He's sitting in the ship's control room, and he's talking to the computer, and he starts like eating one of the piles, and then he's just like, "Yeah, that was your best mate." And he's like, ugh. "The cat that he brought on board survived, and over the millions of years, they evolved into cat people. And one of the remaining people on the ship is the ancestor of his ship's cat, whose name is just Cat."
Yeah.
And he's just
and everything is cat-like,
yeah.
But he's human. And so when
this is mine.
He's marking his territory, but he's got an aerosol can. So instead of spraying like a cat would, he's a human spraying this aerosol can on everything. This is mine, and this is mine, and this is mine.
And then when he meets Lister for the first time in a corridor, he's just like, uh-oh, I better make myself look big. And just goes,
and then he has to do his laundry. And he picks it up, his shirt, and goes...
Yep. it's just stupid humor.
And the toaster with artificial intelligence.
Yes. I toast, therefore I am.
Do you want some toast? I could make you some toast.
I don't just make toast. Would you like a waffle?
oh gosh.
I haven't seen all of them. No, I've seen some of them.
Yeah, it's just little things out there that you...
What's that, Tommy?
Mystery.
Mystery.
All things come to light on the mystery show.
That's right.
Revealing mysteries. I feel like we should be laying down some truth here on the mystery show.
But then that wouldn't be a mystery.
Drinking orange juice after you brush your teeth is not a pleasant experience.
Pretty hideous.
There's some truth for you.
That'd
all
be
right.
Disgusting.
Here's one thing. Check for Alzheimer's. If your mother makes fish sticks and puts, because she reuses everything and she took the garlic salt and without taking off the label made cinnamon sugar in it and put that in my tartar sauce. Cinnamon tartar sauce. It wasn't.
Yeah. Wow. I can't imagine it was.
It's like, you know, should have known things were going downhill at that point. But yeah, maybe take the old label off if you're going to put something new in.
That way at least you can see that there's something still in the canister.
Yeah.
It might be
helpful. Because I'm all for reusing, you know, but, you know, the right way.
What else do we have coming up here in Fayette?
Well, we have the Festival of the Arts.
That's right, August 5th, I believe, right?
Why does everything always happen? There's like 20 things going on this weekend.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's about 20 things going on August 5th.
Yep.
Festival of the Arts. I don't know if they're... I think they're still wanting applicants for the adult art show, the kids art show. It's multimedia. You can do painting, drawing, computer, textiles, almost anything, I think.
Wow.
I haven't heard, but they usually have the cake contest and then they auction them off.
Yeah. I made a sculpture out of a computer once, like an old monitor computer.
Yeah, see, absolutely.
I got so mad at it that I put a sledgehammer through it. The sledgehammer's still there.
Oh.
That was a joke.
Okay. Is the dinosaur jumping over it?
I missed I was trying to...
This was after the dinosaurs. A cave family of cavemen, though, did make a nice home inside.
He's trying to rack my brain for more events coming up. In
the 21st, there's a solar eclipse, whatever
there's
that
a what?
Is.
What's a solar eclipse? What are you talking
it's
about?
It's the thing you're not supposed to direct look
yeah, can
directly
I look straight at the sun then?
Why not?
I mean, if you no longer enjoy having your eyesight.
I'm
gonna go anyway.
I believe
yes?
The solar eclipse is in August, right?
Yeah, it's the 21st.
21st. And, like, prime and viewing is here. In fate at
to Missouri to see it.
And there, apparently there are no places left to stay in Fayette. Everything is booked.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Silver Bell, which
Silver Bell
party
is booked. Yeah. I had a friend say, so I'm at the Silver Bell. How's it?
The Silver Bell
changed
your name? No, I'm just kidding.
So, yeah, you know, but yeah, do get those special glasses or do whatever you're supposed to do and don't stare directly at it. And then after that, and hey, we're going to, we have the total eclipse of the arts. There's
is that happening still? I don't know if that's happening. Is that going to?
I think it's going to happen.
Are we
going to
do something? Okay.
You know, I think they're doing the movie. We'll have to get more information on that.
Yeah.
And then school's right around the corner, folks.
Woohoo!
Hey, I'm excited. This is my last year of college.
Well, I've been in high school for, I don't know, 8 years, so...
It might be time to get out.
I have six more.
I understand that you want to stay around your friends and you keep making new friends each year, but...
Yeah, but I don't look so good in a cheerleading uniform anymore.
I don't know, I've been
That's
in...
why they make the mascots.
I've been in 8 week courses since, like, last August or something, so it's like... School is a non-stop thing until May next year,
oh my God.
I don't want to hear about school either. I got a presentation to do this Tuesday and some other thing that I got to work on, but... All right.
Okay,
well,
and then...
we've got...
Oh, so homecoming for Fayette High School is September 1st.
I heard
really?
That, too,
yeah.
Yeah.
Really early.
Wow.
Yeah.
Getting it out of the way right off the bat.
Yeah, that's so, you know, we can make sure that our homecoming queen isn't pregnant.
Hey, you got to do
no,
what you got
to
do.
I'm totally kidding. When I went to school, that was true.
Wow.
When's the CMU homecoming is what I need to know.
It's usually in
August.
November.
Or October.
Yeah.
I thought it was October.
October, I thought, but is
yeah.
it November?
Yeah, last year was in November.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Early
okay.
November. But they change it up every year, so who knows? I could be
mm-hmm.
wrong.
Yeah, I know.
They might listen to this and be like,
things.
Well,
that's
I guess we're not.
We need to
it's
get
a mystery.
Coach on here and have him explain that.
Mystery.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. What else is...
I'm not sure if we've got any more
nothing
news,
yeah, yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Move to bigger cities so more things happen.
There you go. But we always love our listeners at KPIPLP. Definitely call in. Recently we had some feedback, and we love to hear feedback. So keep calling in. We love to hear that you're listening. And let us know what you want to hear. We want new topics and new crazy things we can wrap our heads around.
As
so
much
we're
as
not,
we like, as much as we like doing shows like these, we don't do it just because we like to hear ourselves talk. At least I don't. I don't know about John.
Well, you know.
Well, that's it. It would be.
I
mean,
like to hear myself talk.
Do you take call-ins even?
Ah, we haven't
not
taken any
of.
Call-ins yet.
I mean, that might be something if somebody else wants to hear how they
sound
on the radio. You know,
but
or I mean, somebody may have an opinion about Transformers or the Planet of the Apes, and would love to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
put their two
page,
cents in.
You have an opinion about something that we've said, or you just want to tell us that we're stupid? You know, we have.
Please. Please tell us we're stupid on the Facebook page. We want to hear that.
But
so, yeah.
Be sure to put who you're calling stupid. Both of Josh's have separate last names, so be sure to look up who you're
or
calling
they
stupid.
Might just
or
make,
you could just say
they're
Josh is stupid
and spell it T-H-E-R-E.
Please don't do that. That is not an acceptable option.
Or just say Josh is stupid that covers both of us. I would never call you late for dinner.
Okay.
But anyway, every Friday night at 9 p.m., you can hear us mocking each other and calling each other names. And
I've never done that.
Yes.
Not yet.
But there's still some time, I suppose.
But we're always joshing around that time. And we record around 5:30 to 6-ish. So you can give us a call around that time if you want to call in. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I believe that's all we have for you today. So
that's all, folks.
Yep.
Well, it was fun. It was great to know that there is someone else out there in Fayette that knows about Red Dwarf.
Right. John Tinker, the engineer here at KPIP, he knows about Red Dwarf, which just made me feel incredibly lonely still because nobody my age knows about it.
Well, that's it. You know, you are an odd duck in that way. Yes.
I'll you know what? One day I'm sure I'll find a nice girl and I'll force her to watch all 10 seasons.
And then you'll know she is for you.
If she sticks around after season 10, then
your hotness might go down after.
You know, I'm not worried about that.
Episode 1, you're cute. Episode 2, you're okay. Episode 3,
am I really going to have to sit through all these?
I'm mental asylum for this guy.
No, it's good.
But that's it for us. We're signing off. Of course, we had our special guest,
Bridget Hesse.
And then there's the good old
Major
Tom. Major Tom in Anaheim, California. Say bye, Tom.
Yo,
yo, yo. And then I've got over here
Josh Goggin.
Josh Goggin. And that's the Fayette Area Community Theater Mystery Show. Fayette Area Community Theater Mystery Show. Fayette Area Community Theater Mystery Show. Fayette Show.